Morning.
Good morning. Morning.
Welcome on this beautiful Lord's Day. The sun is out for a little bit. It's going to get a little messy later on with all the wind that we're supposed to get. Welcome all those watching on the live stream, and a special welcome to guests that are here for the first time. Thank you for visiting with us, and we hope that your time today would be glorifying to God. A couple of announcements that we have. Tonight we have a praise service, and it'll be a time to share your praises and testimonies. And if you can't be here, you're welcome to email your testimony in, and we'll read those aloud. There will also be a fellowship downstairs afterwards, and we'll be sharing desserts. It's always a good time to eat desserts, right? Let's see what else. Don't forget, on Fridays, you usually get an email that the playlists for the songs are out there. So that's an opportunity to listen to them on your way into church and get familiar with the songs that will be during our service. And on Wednesday, there's no prayer service because we have Thanksgiving on Thursday. And everyone is welcome and invited to the Christmas fellowship time that we have at the Toonies. That'll be Friday, December 10th at 6 p.m. So please sign up on the information center in the back, and also what food you're going to be bringing for us. So there's also a change in plans. There will not be a children's Christmas program this year, and no cookie fellowship. Wait, what? No cookie fellowship? Who decided that? Man, that was always a good time. That was scheduled for December 12th at 6 p.m., so unfortunately we won't be having either one of those. Upcoming church events, December 3rd from 6 to 10 is the family board game night. December 5th, we do not have the flock group, and I already talked about the Christmas party at the Toonies house. December 18th is the Lift Christmas fellowship time. And on December 24th is the Christmas Eve candlelight service. So that's all I have. I think, Brad, you're coming up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For those of you who are first-time visitors today, we are without our pastor, who is on vacation and visiting with his family, and first time that they're going to have Thanksgiving together for, I think it was like since he was 17, so I don't know, I need a calculator to figure out how many years ago that was, but it was a long time, so we're grateful that he can go and spend time with his family. Also grateful that we can hear from our up-and-coming preacher, Noah Mason, this morning and also next week as well. So we look forward to that. As we turn our attention to prayer this morning, we'll be praying for our family of the week, John and Valerie Bratz, and their children, and our overseas servants are Eric and Galina Abunadayev. Several requests we have for them, and then also the persecuted saint of the week. These stories are always very hard to read, but I will read portions of the person that we'll be praying for. A young girl named Mirab was abducted by a Pakistani man. Well, she was abducted by a Muslim man in Pakistan. But on November 2nd, so very recently, Mirab Abbas, age 12, was abducted by Muhammad Dawood, a Muslim adult and native of Balochistan, yeah, in Pakistan. Mirab was reportedly abducted by this man and taken to another province forcefully, and will most likely be forcefully converted to Islam and forced to marry this man. So 12-year-old gal taken away from her family and forced to convert. That's the plan anyway, but we know that God is faithful and can intervene on her behalf. So those are our prayer requests for this morning. Let's open our service in word of prayer. Father, we bow before your throne this morning with hearts that are grateful, Lord, for your great love and compassion towards us. Father, we know that you are all-knowing, all-powerful, almighty God, creator of the universe, sustainer of the universe. And Father, nothing escapes your hand. Father, we humbly bow before your throne and bring these petitions before you this morning. Father, our hearts go out to this young girl, Marib, who was abducted. Lord, Father, we pray that your sustaining hand would intervene on her behalf, Lord. Father, we pray that this man would have a change of heart, Lord, the one that has abducted her. Father, we know that Satan has a grasp of his heart. But Lord, we know that your spirit and through your power, you can open his eyes to the wrong that he is about to commit. So Father, we pray that you would intervene. Father, we pray that you would deliver Marib. May she escape and be able to get back home, Father, and just protect her, Lord. Pray that through all of this, that individuals would be encouraged to stand firm for their faith. And all the more, Lord, as we see more and more of this persecution. So we pray for this situation, Lord, and ask, Father, that you do a wonderful miracle that only you can do, Lord, and protect her. Father, we pray for our overseas saints, for Eric and Galena and their children as well. Father, we just pray for safety as he travels in the area, as he continues to develop ministry for expository preaching in the Belgrade region. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would encourage many of the young men there that are believers, that they would want to be part of this preaching ministry. And Father, that much fruit would abound as a result of this ministry. Lord, we pray for the situation, Lord, that is in their area, Lord. There's a war going on in Nagorno region, and also they're having to deal with COVID. And Lord, this has caused many difficulties and disruptions of plans. So we just pray, Father, that you would give Eric the wisdom to know how to react and how to handle the situation. And Father, as he leads a ministry there called The Gospel is the Power of God, Father, may many hearts be receptive and grow as a result of that. Father, we thank you that he was able to have surgery on his hand that he cut back last year. Thank you that the surgery went well. And Father, we do pray for a complete recovery and that he will be able to use his hand. It was a very long time to wait for surgery, but Lord, we know that you are the great physician and can heal him even at this time. Pray also for their home as they continue to complete it. They moved in before it was complete, but Lord, we pray that they would have time to work on those details, Lord, and truly make the house a home. And Father, we pray for Galena too, Lord, as she is recently lost within the last year, both of her parents. So Father, we just pray for encouragement. We pray for fruit in their ministry, Lord, and just look forward to hearing how you will work through them in the field that you have sent them to. And Lord, we do pray for our family of the week, for John and Valerie Bratz, Lord. We just thank you for this couple, Lord, and for their willingness to serve here. Father, we thank you for John and know that he's an avid cleaner here at church, Lord, and also a greeter. Father, we want to encourage them, and Lord, as he has asked for prayer for salvation for his children, Lord, we just pray for Madeline and Elijah, for Summer, Iana, and also Jameson, Lord, that early on in their lives, you would open their spiritual eyes, Lord. May they see that you are the true God and that you have a purpose and a plan. And the biggest part of that purpose, Lord, is to know the Lord Jesus as personal Savior. Father, sin needs to be paid for. Either we can pay for it ourselves in hell for all of eternity, or we can call upon you and ask the Lord Jesus to cover our sins by the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And Father, we do pray that you would intervene and that you would open their eyes, Lord, that they would see you. Father, we also pray for John as he asked for prayer for continuing to grow in his Christian life, Lord, and to nurture and develop a deep prayer relationship with you. And Father, we all echo those sentiments, Father, that we would know you on a deeper level and spend more time with you in prayer. So, Father, we thank you for the Bratz family, Lord. Thank you for John, for his ministry here. And, Lord, we thank you for this morning. Pray that Pastor Kurt and his family have an enjoyable time as they are celebrating the Thanksgiving with his parents and her parents as well, Lord. Just bring them back refreshed. Father, we pray for Noah this morning. We thank you that this young man is so willing to be used by you. Father, that as he continues in the path towards becoming a pastor, Lord, we pray for all aspects of his training, Lord. And Father, this morning as he brings forth the word, may you just bring a tremendous calm to his heart, Father, as he stands in the pulpit, Lord, and brings to us your words. So we thank you for Noah, Lord, and we look forward to hearing from him this morning. Father, may all of the songs that we sing and the scripture that we read and the words that we hear through Noah, Father, may they be acceptable in your sight, and may our worship be pleasing to you this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Thank you. That's one of the purposes of being here, is to honor and praise our God. So we're going to start by singing hymn 309, if you would take your hymnals. But otherwise, I will sing of my Redeemer. Now, many of you have heard or read the list of attributes of God that are listed by books in the Bible. And we will be using some of those in our worship in song this morning. We're going to begin with Job. In Job, he is our Redeemer that ever lives. Let's stand and sing. I will sing of my Redeemer.
I will sing of my
wisdom of our God. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastic, he is our wisdom, the perfect wisdom of our God.
The perfect wisdom of our God, revealed in all the universe. All things created by his hand, and held together at his command. He knows the mysteries of the seas, the secrets of the stars are his. He guides the current of their way and turns the earth through another day. matchless wisdom of his ways that paves the path of righteousness. His word a lamp unto my feet, his spirit teaching and guiding me. And know the mystery of the cross, that God should suffer for the lost, so that the fool might shame the wise, and all the glory might go to Christ. Oh, grant me wisdom from above, to pray, to praise, and cling to love. And teach me humbly to receive the sun and rain of your sovereignty. Each stead of sorrow has a place within his tapestry of grace. So through the love it chose to say your perfect will in your perfect way. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, you are the great and sovereign God of the universe, the creator of all things. And you have created us in your own image. And you sent your Son to pay the price for our sins, which we could not pay. But through faith in Jesus and his death upon the cross, we have the gift of eternal life. Thank you, Father, for this glorious day that you are in our presence. And we thank you for every person who's here today. We pray that each of us would have the desire to live and to glorify you. Take these gifts of offering now and use them for your work and your ministry, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. We will be in the book of Genesis, continuing on with chapter 31, 1 through 32. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Now, Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, "Jacob has taken all that was our father's, and from what was our father's he has gained all this wealth." And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your father and to your kindred, and I will be with you." So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah into the field where his flock was and said to them, "I see your father does not regard me with favor as he did before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I have served your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not permit him to harm me. If he said, 'The spotted shall be your wages,' then all the flock bore spotted. And if he said, 'The stripes shall be your wages,' then all the flock bore striped. Thus God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. In the breeding season of the flock, I lifted up my eyes and I saw in a dream that the goat that mated with the flock were striped, spotted, and mottled. Then the angel of God said to me in a dream, 'Jacob,' and I said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Lift up your eyes and see. All the goat that mate with the flock are striped, spotted, and mottled, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise, go out from this land and return to the land of your kindred.' Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, 'Is there any portion or inheritance left to us in our father's house? Are we not regarded by him as foreigners? For he has sold us, and he has indeed devoured our money. All the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do.' So Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives on camels. He drove away all his livestock, all his property that he had gained, the livestock in his possession that he had acquired in Paddan Aram, to go to the land of Canaan to his father Isaac. Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel stole her father's household gods. And Jacob tricked Laban, the Aramean, by not telling him that he intended to flee. He fled with all that he had and arose and crossed the Euphrates and set his face toward the hill country of Gilead. When it was told to Laban on the third day that Jacob had fled, he took his kinsmen with him and pursued him for 7 days and followed close after him into the hill country of Gilead. But God came to Laban the Aramean in a dream by night and said to him, 'Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad.' And Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country, and Laban with his kinsmen pitched tents in the hill country of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, 'What have you done that you have tricked me and driven away my daughters like captives of the sword? Why did you flee secretly and trick me and did not tell me, so that I might have sent you away with mirth and song, with tambourines and lyre? And why did you not permit me to kiss my son and my daughters farewell? Now you have done foolishly. It is in my power to do you harm, but the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, "Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad." And now you have gone away because you long greatly for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods?' Jacob answered and said to Laban, 'Because I was afraid, for I thought that you would take your daughters from me by force. Anyone with whom you find your God shall not live. In the presence of our kinsmen, point out what I have that is yours and take it.' Now Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them."
Our God reigns. In Micah, he is the messenger with beautiful feet.
Our God reigns. How lovely are the mountains, are the feet of Him who brings good news. Good news, announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns. Our God reigns.
So, over the past year and a half, a lot has changed and has taken place and caused many challenges in many of our lives. For me, everything changed very quickly. Last year, I came home from spring break and expecting that after a week, I would head back down to Chicago to finish school and to return to my job there. But next thing I know, I am unemployed and living in my parents' basement. So, basically living the dream. No, not really. So at that time, I was trying to get adjusted to doing school online, which was very difficult. And I was also trying to find a job, and also at the same time, making major wedding plan adjustments while quickly trying to find a place for me and my new wife to live. While all this was going on, I was extremely stressed and anxious, and we didn't know where we would work, if we'd be able to get married, or where we would live. It felt like everything was out of our control, and we were being pushed around by the storm. Now looking back, I see that God was right there with us the whole time. He hadn't left us, and He was using those hard times and those circumstances for our good and benefit. And I'm sure every one of you has had times where everything has been out of your control, and you feel like you were alone. Or you might be going through one of those seasons right now. But in those times, we need to remember that when we lose sight of Jesus, He has not lost sight of us. And that's what brings us to our passage this morning, found in Matthew chapter 14, if you turn there with me. Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to be starting in verse 22. Matthew chapter 14, starting verse 22. Immediately, He made the disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, while He dismissed the crowds. And after He had dismissed the crowds, He went up on the mountains by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the winds were against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind and waves ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all the region and brought to him all who were sick, and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it was made well. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that we can gather here this morning to worship you, and we thank you for your word that we can learn from. Help me to be able to speak clearly and accurately and be able to bring glory to you. We pray this in your name. Amen. So before we get into the core of the message, let's clear up some things about the Sea of Galilee and the storm itself. To a modern reader, it might seem a little strange that the disciples, many of whom were fishermen, would go out during a storm. But an interesting fact about the Sea of Galilee is that it is approximately 700 feet below sea level, and the mountainous region around the Sea of Galilee is 4,000 feet above sea level. So this drastic elevation difference between the mountains and the sea can cause a sudden and unexpected storm to form due to the cold air rushing down from the mountains and colliding with the warm air from the water. So when Jesus sent the disciples out to the sea, there probably wasn't a storm raging at the time, and the disciples had no idea it was coming. So therefore, the disciples are not stupid. The Sea of Galilee is just very unpredictable. And because of this unpredictability and danger, the sea was culturally viewed as chaotic and evil. And anyone caught in the storm, no matter how skilled, feared it. So at the start of this passage, Jesus has just finished feeding the 5,000. And he sends his disciples out to the sea while he goes to pray. So at this time, the disciples are physically separated from Jesus. So when the storm comes upon them, from their perspective, they think that Jesus has abandoned them and allowed them to get caught in the middle of a storm alone. Just like many people today, they feel like Jesus abandoned them and allowed them to go through this difficult time alone. But Jesus never abandons us, and he didn't abandon his disciples. Even when we go through trials, God isn't trying to hurt us. Instead, he allows us to face trials in order that our faith might grow. And that is what Jesus is doing right here. He's testing the faith of his disciples. So disciples have been pushed out into the middle of a storm, absolutely terrified of what could happen, probably exhausted from rowing against the waves, and now holding on for dear life and trying to keep the boat from sinking. Then in the storm, they see a human-like figure walking towards them, and they shout for joy because they know it's Jesus walking towards them. Nope, that's not what they said. Instead, they cried out in terror, "It's a ghost!" The Greek word used here is phantasma, which is where we get the word phantom, and it could be translated as a spirit appearance. So knowing the cultural view of the sea was chaotic and evil, the disciples most likely saw this figure walking towards them and thought it was an evil spirit. The disciples also thought that Jesus had abandoned them and was peacefully on dry land, so they weren't necessarily looking for him. Again, like the disciples, when we face trials, we might start to think that God is just sitting back and watching us struggle against the waves of life. But even though we might not immediately recognize it, God is right there with us in the storm. Thankfully, when struggles come and we begin to lose sight of Jesus, he has not lost sight of us. The disciples were caught in the middle of a storm, and they did not recognize Jesus coming towards them. They cried out in terror because they were afraid they would sink. During that time, Jesus was focused on them, and he called out to them and told them not to be afraid. Even when we lose sight of Jesus, he is still there, calling out to us not to be afraid and to trust him. At this time, the narrator, Matthew, turns the mic over to Jesus, who responds to the terrified cries of the disciples. And Jesus says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And this reflects Yahweh's voice from the burning bush in Exodus 3:14. In Exodus, the Lord reveals himself to Moses and says that he is I am. And here in this verse, Jesus is revealing to his disciples that he is indeed the Lord, and they can be assured that he is there for them. At this point, Peter realizes that it is Jesus, and he says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out on the water." Jesus then told him to come, and Peter got out of the boat and had faith that Jesus would help him to walk on water. At first, Peter stood on the water because of his faith. When he saw the wind and the waves, he started to doubt the power of Jesus and began to sink into the sea, crying out to the Lord for help. Peter and the disciples continue to be a great picture of us and our own response to difficulties. Peter, like many of us, wants to have faith, and he wants to believe that everything's going to be fine. But like us, when he paused and took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the circumstances around him, he began to doubt and fear and lose sight of the one who rescues us from the storm. We must keep looking unto Jesus. Now, as Peter sank into the sea, Jesus immediately reached down and pulled him out of the water. And I don't know about you, but reaching down and lifting someone up on dry land is difficult enough. Now imagine Jesus standing on water and just grabbing Peter by the hand and lifting him right out of the water. It's crazy. If Jesus walking on water didn't show his power enough, pulling Peter out of the water proved his power even more. Not only could Jesus stand on the water, but he could stand on water and support Peter as well. As he pulled Peter from the water, Jesus questioned Peter's faith and said, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus here almost seems shocked that Peter would doubt him, and rightfully so, because Peter had already witnessed Jesus calming a storm, and yet he doubted. Jesus also reminds Peter of this and says exactly the same thing he said to him during the last storm. Matthew 8:26 says, "And Jesus said to them, 'Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?'" Peter not only witnessed Jesus calm a storm, he also witnessed him perform many other signs and wonders. And at that very moment, Jesus was literally walking on the stormy seas right in front of him. For us as readers, we might think, come on, Jesus is literally right there with you all the time, and you see him perform miracles time and time again, and yet you still doubt. Now, I would be hesitant to criticize Peter, because we would have done the same thing. Honestly, right now, we don't have much excuse for doubting God's power, because we have the Bible, and we have read about miracle after miracle. We have read about God parting the Red Sea. We have read about how God struck down armies, and we have read about countless other miracles and promises of God. And yet, when we face our own trials, we seem to forget just how great and powerful our God is. After Jesus pulls Peter from the water, the two of them got into the boat, and the sea was instantly calm. Peter and the rest of the disciples were in awe of what had just happened. They had been fighting for their lives in the middle of a storm. when Jesus walked across the water and calmed the sea. It is at this moment that the disciples begin worshiping Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Surprisingly, this is actually the first time the disciples called Jesus the Son of God. Previously, in Matthew 8, 26 through 27, Jesus calmed a storm on the sea, and the disciples asked, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him?" Even after Jesus had calmed the storm, the disciples still did not recognize who Jesus was. Now that Jesus walked on water and calmed a storm for the second time, the disciples finally realized that Jesus was the Son of God, which instantly caused them to worship him. The end of this passage seems very insignificant, since it follows such an intense narrative of Jesus walking on water and calming the sea. But these verses should not be overlooked, because they contrast the previous section. When Jesus walked towards the disciples in the water, they did not recognize him, and they thought he was a ghost. In contrast, in verse 35, after Jesus and the disciples crossed the sea, it says that the men of the region recognized who Jesus was. Jesus' own disciples, who had spent every day with him, did not recognize him, but people from a different region did. Another contrast is the faith of the disciples and the faith of the people of Gennesaret. The disciples were terrified of the storm and were terrified of Jesus as he walked on water. They lacked faith that Jesus would protect them. Peter also lacked faith that Jesus would help him walk on water. The people of Gennesaret, however, had very strong faith. They knew that Jesus was powerful and could heal their sicknesses. They had so much faith in Jesus' power, they asked that they might just touch the edge of his garment to receive healing. And the passage concludes by saying that all who touched his garment were healed. The beginning of the passage shows us how we usually react to the storms of life. We feel trapped and alone, with no way of escape. We also begin to doubt the power of Jesus. And at the end of the passage, however, shows us how we should react to difficulties. As Jesus reached the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the people there recognized him and knew that he was powerful and could heal their sicknesses. There were many who were sick and had suffered, but they still had faith that Jesus would heal them. In this passage, it shows us that we are never alone, and nothing can stop Jesus, and there is nothing that can separate us from his love. The disciples were trapped in the middle of a storm and could not get back to shore to be with Jesus. So Jesus walked right across the storm and sea to reach his disciples and calm the sea. This passage should give us comfort in the fact that nothing can get in the way of our Savior, and not even the raging sea will stop him. Like the disciples, we do not have the strength it takes to overcome the storms of life. And like the disciples, we have the Son of God who does have the strength to overcome them. The disciples wavered in their faith, and we probably will at times as well. But we should always trust Jesus and remember that even when we lose sight of him, he has not lost sight of us and is always calling out to us, ready to save us. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to remember that even when we cannot see you and everything is out of our control, that help us to remember that you are with us and you are in control and you have not lost sight of us. Please help everyone here to just take that to heart and help everyone to have a great Thanksgiving weekend and remember all the blessings that you have given us. Lord, we thank you for sending your one and only Son, Jesus, to earth to take the punishment for our sins so that we might have eternal life with you. We pray this in your name. Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. In Philemon, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Let's stand and sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not care. Everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee, thou will find a solace there. We will be starting Sunday school at 10:15, so Joel, you buzz the buzzer at 10:15. We'll start Sunday school then. We'll get out a little earlier today. Thank you for all your great singing, and thank you, Noah, for sharing those encouraging words from God's Word. You are dismissed.